Children, were you paying attention? Three questions. Remember the first question, you can choose whatever you want there from the sweets. Second and third are much more easier. Well, if the children do not answer, the parents who answer for that particular child besides you will have the sweet. So anyways, you will get the sweet. There's one non-English word, a word that was not in English, that we heard in today's gospel. Whoa, there's already a 2, 3. Hey, the Jesuits are poor. I cannot be giving so many children's. Wait, I saw her hand first, and I will come back to you, okay? Oh no, she has got a book. Why did I not realize they have the book with her? Raka, oh my God. You better catch me after the Eucharist so that I take you there, okay? And you get the sweet. Raka, okay? The adults, do you know the meaning of Raka? The Raka, it's in Hebrew and Aramaic. We also use it in our own language back in India, in Hindi, because it has an Arabic tone to it. Raka is worthless, empty-headed. That's the meaning of Raka. There's no translation to it. And therefore, the word is put as it is. But in India, we would have used another word for it. So do not treat somebody as Raka. So, young lady, since you're paying attention, I will take you there. The second question. Who can tell me what the gospel, the psalm response was, the response to the psalm today? If you say it rightly, and if the choir says, yes, that was the response, there you get a sweet. Say it, young man, say it. Yeah. Well said, but not quite right. But well said, good try. Okay, not the choir. Here and here, we shall ask both. Did you copy? Okay, but you can say it. Blessed, you began well. Blessed what? Who follow the law. Very good attempt. Not quite right. But you shall get a sweet, young lady. You want to say it? Anybody else? Yes? Thank you for reading it. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. Well, the psalm always helps us, the psalm and the acclamation, especially when we find, when we are preparing for a homily and there's no connection between the first reading and the gospel reading. It's always good to look at either the acclamation or the psalm, because that really brings a connection. And the last question, I'm going to get poor today. The last question, what is one word that is repeated in all the readings? You do not have to tell me the exact word. The children especially. Yes. You said, ah? Forgot is not the word. Yes. Lord is right, young. Oh my God, I'm getting poor. But the word that I want you to say. God. You're right, you are right. But there's another word besides Lord and God. Yes. Gehenna, that was only in the gospel reading. Yes. Amen. Amen, yes. Amen was, did it come in the first reading? Who read the first reading? Was there amen in your reading? Thank you. She said, I don't know, and she expects us to remember. Yes, young lady. Jesus, you're right. Not quite right. Yes. Blessed. In the gospel reading.
Thanks be to God
is the response. You're right. Not quite right. Pardon? Wisdom? Did you say wisdom? Okay. Was it in the gospel reading though? Oh, I might be completely wrong. Yes. God, I have to change the question or this homily will go on and on. Okay, what is the word that I'm expecting you to say? I have to change the question. What is the word I'm expecting you to say? It is related to the psalm. It is related to the theme of today in a way. Yes? You said Jesus? Commandments. That is the word I was seeking for. Command or commandment. Well, for the children present here, today what the Lord is asking us, or the Lord is telling us very, very clearly, is I'm not going to get fooled by all your exterior actions and words, because I look at your heart. I look at your intentions. I look at your motivations and inner desires. So when you are angry and you fake a smile, remember, you can fake all of us, but you cannot fake God. God is looking straight at your heart. All the children present here, did you listen to me? Where is God looking? Where is God looking? He's looking at your heart. He's looking at what is going on inside you, and not just what is going on outside you. And for all of you present here, this is what I'm going to reflect with you on. It's quite difficult which audience to really preach to today. This doesn't make any sense that I'm written here. But let me try. It was Valentine's Day yesterday. And you expect me to preach what I practice, right? Well, I joined very young, so I really did not get to practice everything that you associate Valentine's with. So I joined very young. So I did not have a Valentine when I was just 14 or 15 or 16. So I joined very young. So I will not be preaching on Valentine. But there is something that the readings say that is quite essential for a Valentine day. Our horizontal relationships with each other, the readings tell us, is important. And is vital. Because that indicates the depth, the quality, and the God that we believe in. That really reflects the God we believe in. Our relationship with each other reflects the God we believe in. So this vertical dimension that we pay so much attention to has no value if we do not pay attention to this vertical dimension that we share with each other. Our kindness, our love for each other. Because when Jesus is telling us to surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who are great people, I'm sorry that with all our preaching in the church, we put down the scribes and the Pharisees and we say all the nasty things that we can ever say about the scribes and Pharisees. They were good people. They followed the law. They were obedient. And if you know Jewish people and if you live with them and if you interact with them, they are well-respected people. Here, the Lord is saying, it is not enough. You have to surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. What does he mean by that? He's telling us that you need to follow God's law. That is beyond this. So only your Sunday masses, your rosaries, and all your holy, pious practices that you have are not enough. The other day, I went to anoint a young man, just 2 years older to me. The doctors have clearly told him, very, very clearly told him, we cannot do anything for you. So he doesn't know when is the amen for him, when he says, Lord, I'm coming. So I was the second priest invited, but I was invited by the family, a family like you and me, very faithful, faithful Catholics. And they called me and said, Father, you have to make him take the anointing of the sick. You have to. And I did not know that I was the second priest invited there. So I went in, had a beautiful conversation with this man, terribly frightened because he doesn't know when he's going to die. And who would not be frightened at a state and a stage like that? And he says, I have so much to live, Father, and I have so much to look forward to. I have not done one bad thing in my life. I've always been faithful. I've always done the good things that every human being has to do. The problem, which I did not hear from him, that I heard from the family, and that is why they call me, is, Father, we need a deathbed conversion. He has to say yes to the Lord. He has to receive communion, or else we are upset, we are worried. Pure intention, they love him, but the only thing that torments that young man is, my family is forcing me to do something that I ought not to do at this point of my life. Well, there's a difference between professing one's faith and practicing one's faith. I clearly saw that this man practiced his faith. The only problem is he did not profess it. It's not a problem. He did not profess it. Are these people bad? No. Do they wish good for him? Yes. But at those moments of our life, because of our own rigidity and our own rigidity towards practices, being faithful to saying Jesus is Lord and Jesus alone is King and we have to go for Sunday Mass and we have to say the rosary, we forget this horizontal dimension that the Lord is calling us to reflect on. How we relate and how we make each other feel. I'm not judging what is happening there, but I'm trying to say what is more important at that moment. That we get so rigid as we continue to live our life. The law of the Lord is the law that is looking straight at our hearts. We can fool each other. I can fool you with a great homily, with my very pious ways. You can fool each other by saying, I'm faithfully going for Sunday Mass. But you cannot fool the Lord. Children, what did I say? And adults, listen to them. Where does the Lord look at? Our hearts is not fooled by our externals. He's not fooled by all that we show the whole world. He's looking at our hearts. And that is the only way to surpass the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Good people, we are all good people, going faithfully and doing all that is expected of us. But the desires of our heart, our interior motivations, our interior attitudes, that is what the Lord is looking at. Let us follow the law of the Lord more than just the law we think that makes us look good in front of each other. The horizontal dimension, very, very important. If you say you love God, children, you have to love your parents, you have to love your brothers and sisters, you have to love your friends, and you have to love everybody you think are difficult to love. Because that is when you can really say, I love God. Because you love people around you, people who reflect God. And this is for all of us. Let us follow the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord that looks at us clearly. All those 600 and odd laws that the Pharisees and scribes followed was narrowed down to just one beautiful law by Jesus. Love God, yes. but love your neighbor as you love yourself.